for joining us on a Wednesday edition of the Everything Is Earned podcast. We are Everything Cleveland, and my name is Mike.
And I am his co-host, Tim.
And we're going to break down everything going on in your Cleveland sports world, and we got a lot of stuff going on. Particularly today, we're going to do a Cavs season preview. We're going to break down some things that are happening that you guys got to know about going into the Cavs season, so you don't walk into the game Wednesday, or, you know, no one's going to walk into it, but you're not going to flip it on your TV going, oh, we don't know what this Cavs roster. So you're going to know what's going on. We're going to break it down. We're going to have you be informed. I want to give you reasons why you want to be excited about this season.
And why you want to watch it.
Why it's going to be watchable. Don't be such a hater just because LeBron's not here anymore.
Just because we might not be a playoff team doesn't mean it's not to be a fun, watchable season.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I agree there, Tim. So we'll go right into it. So the Cavs start the season against the Magic here on Wednesday. And we have some players that are really interesting on this roster. I think right off the get-go, we got to talk about Darius Garland. He is supposedly, could be, maybe, might be the starter for Wednesday. I think it's all but a foregone conclusion that he will be the starter.
It's probable, as John Beilein said, which means it's happening. We said this on the last episode that he's going to be the starter. We've been saying that on our social media since we drafted him. We know Colin Sexton isn't a playmaker. He isn't a passer. And they label him as a slashing guard, and he just loves to put his head down and drive, which I always hate as an insult. Especially, and I think Sexton should as well. But I think Garland is more of a natural playmaker, and you take some responsibility off Sexton because it's not the way he's naturally good at. He's a scorer, and just let him be a scorer.
Yeah, he's absolutely a scorer, and I'm okay with that. So he doesn't need to run point guard. You know, they asked him in the preseason whether or not, what he was going to do with the move to shooting guard.
I thought this was laughable.
And he said that he's not moving anywhere. So he's saying he's not going to not play point guard, which I think is ridiculous because Colin Sexton averaged 3 assists per game last year as a point guard.
And somehow he stumbled in the... I don't even think it was 3 assists. It was 3. Almost.
It was 3.
Almost? Yeah, I thought it was like 2.8.
Yeah.
It was like 2.7, 2.8 all year long. He consistently didn't even look to pass the ball to open teammates or create to find his open teammates. He's going to drive to find his own shot.
Okay, so we know why we are not huge fans of Sexton, but let me give you reasons why we think Sexton might fit this offense that John Beilein's running. He runs...
Before we get into that, can I mention one more thing?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You mentioned how he wasn't open to not being like any other person besides the point guard. That's a weird dynamic considering how close that Darius Garland and Colin Sexton have got reportedly by the team and John Beilein and pretty much everyone within the Cavs organization. So that's a weird like kind of connection for someone who's unwilling to like take the bad seat to like the Cavs franchise as the leader.
One of the things you're gonna run into this year, Tim, and it's gonna be really painfully obvious, is that Garland's gonna take the reins.
How much better Garland is than Colin Sexton?
No, Garland's gonna take the reins of this team, and Sexton's gonna take a back seat. Sexton will be scoring. He'll play like a Clarkson type of role, where like he's gonna score a lot of points, but no one's gonna say he's the best player on the team.
I'm kind of thinking he gets frustrated with his role with the Cavs, and he kind of demands a trade within the organization. And so he's very hush-hush until right about Kobe Altman pulls the trigger and makes it happen.
Okay, so that's interesting that you say that. And I want to get...
I want to get into it
a little bit more here in a minute. But going back to why I think Sexton could actually be a valuable piece in this offense is because John Beilein's offense is like a motion cut offense. It's not a set piece offense.
It's a space and pace.
Yeah, so what he's going to be doing is you're going to see a lot of different things here. You're going to see a lot of action off ball. You're going to see a lot of backdoor cuts.
It's flooded. Yeah, you're going to see a lot of movement. That's why we have those forwards that have that shooting ability.
This is one of the reasons why it's going to be a really fun game, really fun to watch the Cavs, because they're going to play a very appealing style of basketball to fans. A lot of times in the past, you've heard people complaining about LeBron iso-balling and
walking the ball up the court.
These guys are going to push the pace. They're going to move on offense, and you're going to see a lot of guys touch the ball. And that's where Colin Sexton can actually be very effective, because with his speed and with his ability to get to the rim,
playoff ball,
he's going to create himself a lot of shot opportunities. And we saw that in the preseason where he did have a couple really nice scoring games. So you want to put him in opportunities to score. And this offense where he's moving a lot allows him to use that speed in a way that he can get some easy buckets.
Right. It singles out his strength and it makes him focus on only that, just like we do with Clarkson off the bench, which is a good fit for in this John Beilein offense.
Two other positive pieces for Sexton. I did notice his finishing ability did improve a little bit over the summer. And I also noted that his shot looks a little bit better as well. Still off the dribble, it's a little bit shaky, but his set shot off of spot ups is much better.
And I'll add, I had a few buddies that went up to the Detroit game over during the preseason, and they said he looked much bigger, physical wise. So I think he's been in the weight room and added a little bit of bulk to make him fit that young bull nickname that he had.
Is there any more cringeworthy nickname than young bull?
I don't know. I think that's the 2K nickname that like you don't want to have, but 2K forces you to have as your player.
It's the default one.
Yeah, it's like ABC train. Like, oh my.
Oh no.
No.
That basic
anything
nickname
else
that we never asked for. I just think that like after like his third season, he's gonna be like, we're gonna drop the young part. I'm just gonna call me Bull.
He's going to want to be known by Colin for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
It'd be like LeBron, like, having everyone call him James. Call me James.
Okay, whatever, Tim. So, here's what we had to look forward to on this Cavs roster. Garland's going to take the reins, I think. And then you have, he's a player that's going to see the floor. He's going to create his own shot. And he's a much better passer than Sexton is, so you're gonna see a lot more pinpoint passing, and you're gonna see him thread the needle a little bit more than Colin did.
Darius Garland use that his creativity, his playmaking ability, and his willingness to get others involved, and he'll make decisions quicker. I think his reaction time and his this ability to see the floor like from a natural standpoint, as a natural playmaker, is phenomenal coming out as a rookie. Just only be playing 5 games at college, too.
Yeah, I'm impressed with him so far. I really think that he'll be a lot of fun to watch this year. And he'll make some fans turn their heads, and you'll know who he is by midseason.
Garland is like a combination of two players I like quite a bit. CJ McCollum, because of his decisiveness and his ability to take what the defense gives him, and his ability and the fact that he dribbles with a purpose. Trae Young is because he has similar passing ability and shooting ability, and they kind of use the rhythm off that they can create and the dribbling ability to put themselves in rhythm. And the shooting ability allows them to make a lot of shots that others can't.
Yeah, I can see what you're talking about in terms of putting yourself in rhythm. You know, Garland demonstrated that several times in this preseason with his step back, where you could tell what his dribble move was to put him in rhythm for that shot. And when he pulled up, you knew it was good before it even came off his hands.
And his shot is perfect for off the dribble. I think I'd bet he's a better shooter off the dribble than he is catch and shoot.
That's really tough to do, but if you're good at putting yourself into rhythm, then I wouldn't be surprised if you're right.
He has a great shooting pocket, and I think even the release is similar. I think his left hand is kind of comes off the ball a little bit, and he just shoots it basically with his right for a longer distance, like a longer length of the shooting motion than a lot of players do. A lot of players bring up that left guard hand or the right guard hand depending on what is a domino hand, and he's a very polished game, and he has a floater ability. He has a great floater for off pick and rolls. I think he's gonna work well really well with Tristan Thompson, which we didn't see much with because the Cavs rested a lot of the veterans during the preseason.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson led the league last year, or second in the league last year, in assisted picks, which basically means I set up a screen on a defender, and we ended up scoring a bucket off that screen.
And that teammate you screened for scored.
Yeah, so yeah. I think Garland's going to have a nice little connection with Tristan. That's a really good point you make there. Very excited by his game. Also excited for Kevin Porter Jr. A lot of people are very excited about this kid. He fell really hard in the draft because some off the court, in the locker room issue stuff. Just, I think it's immaturity, whatever it was. But anyways, he fell in the draft order, and the Cavs snagged him at, what, 30th?
30, yeah. They traded up for him with that. They traded, I think, four second-round picks for the Detroit Pistons, 30th pick.
Yeah,
to select him.
And he looks really good so far. I think
he's up and down. He's had great moments, and I feel like he's been in his head a little bit. And that's caused him to be a little bit sporadic.
I think he's ultra talented, though.
But you see those flashes where his isolation game is phenomenal.
His
ability to create a shot for himself.
He looks like he could score in bunches.
I think he's going to be one of those microwaves. When he gets going. But I think he's done, especially his rookie year, when he's trying to figure out just how to be a professional and how to do the day-in, day-out grind. The 82 game season, he's gonna have struggle. He's gonna struggle with that as most rookies do. But since I think he missed a portion of the college season last year, right?
Yeah, because he wasn't because
yeah, because he wasn't
on
the play
because of his off the court stuff.
Yeah,
so he was like in the doghouse, out of the doghouse.
So I think it might take him about a year or something to take the rust off a little bit, and just like most rookies do. Dinner with him.
I'm excited to watch his development. He's going to be fun.
But you're going to see some crazy dunks. You're going to see some ankle breakers. You might not see a lot on the defensive end, but he talked about how much he's been focusing on that and trying to make that turn that weakness into a strength.
Now, we also have rookie Dylan Windler, who's a nice shooter. He's not gonna be active early on. He's
about three or four more weeks.
He's coming off an injury.
Tibial stress reaction.
Yeah, stress reaction. It's like it sounds like he's like he went nuclear or something.
Sounds like he had a bunch of acne.
he had some really spicy like foods and he had a bad reaction and he's got a tibia.
Yeah, drafted. He heard about Swenson's. He had to check it out. It messed him up ever since.
Yeah,
he'll be out for 3 to 4 weeks.
Don't talk stuff about Swenson like that.
I'm not. He just couldn't handle it.
He couldn't handle it. He's
not from here. He doesn't have that blue-collar grit yet, you know? That comes with time, you know?
He's not from here.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that being said, you got to look at your other core pieces that you have. You got Kevin Love. You got some of these expiring contracts.
A lot of them.
You got Larry Nance, too. I think he'll fit John Beilein's system really, really well. So I'm excited for, I would say, the Cavs' starting rotation. The bench, I'm a little bit
a lot of players on this team, but it doesn't mean that those players are ultra talented or fit what the Cavs are trying to do in the long term future.
Superstar wise, do you think the Cavs have a superstar on this roster?
I think Kevin Love, when healthy, can be that guy still. I think it's a big if, but I want Minnesota Kev back. I thought it was gonna happen last year. Then he had injuries that plagued him all season long. But I thought about this during the LeBron run that he should have been your number one option in that offense. Give it to him 15, 18 times in the post, and just let him tailorized defenders in there, and then you get to 15 trips to the line, 10, 15 trips to the line.
Kevin's a dog,
but
man.
He's a dog. Being what we have with the young team, I think he can be the focal point and take pressure off of Sexton, Garland, and Jetty. On that starting rotation,
I think Kevin, you're not going to see Minnesota Kev in the sense that you're not going to see him with that same bulk. But don't mistake.
Hair.
Don't mistake Kevin Love as not a strong guy. That dude's an animal, and he can get where he wants to go in the post. I think Kevin should average 20 a game without question. Like,
easy.
He is poised to have a great season, and you know what he's attributing that to?
His health? Mental health?
His mental health, man. His mental health. He had a little Eat, Pray, Love Kevin summer. He did a lot of traveling, and he had a little article that came out yesterday about just how having different experiences this summer and doing different traveling was really great for his mental health and just putting him in a great spot going into the season. So, little Eat, Pray, Kevin is all we need, really. So, I'm excited about Kevin Love's potential. I think that a lot of Cavs fans still don't understand how valuable he is because we didn't get a full season of Kevin last year.
And we had two ultra superstars in Kyrie Irving and LeBron James
for 4 years. Who are ball-dominant.
Ball-dominant
superstars.
So, Kevin Love was the unselfish guy and accepted way less touches in order to keep them happy.
Right, absolutely. So looking at this roster, you got some odds and end pieces here, and what you have to really worry about, or not worry about, is we have to consider going in this year is that you have a bunch of expiring contracts. Most importantly, you have these four big ones that I think are going to really stick out. You have Henson, Thompson, you've got Clarkson, Brandon Knight, and actually five. You have Dellavedova.
Yeah.
You have to, at some point, take on some bad money, and you have to flip those for assets.
For mid-first-round picks.
That's where I was saying earlier, if things went south with with Sexton, you could pair up one of those contracts
with Sexton
to help meet money standards and get something back, which is really interesting.
And maybe an established young player.
Yeah, so let's say things don't go well in Sacramento, or things go poorly in the Pelicans.
Well, let's say Buddy Hield just didn't get that big $94 million contract extension, and they waited midway through the season. That should have been a player we could have acquired in that situation.
Well, he got a contract, so
he did.
Whatever. So let's just say there's something's going south somewhere. You could definitely unload some of these expiring contracts for a team that's maybe looking to rebuild as well and unload bad contracts, or maybe a team that's competing to want to unload some contracts. You're going to have a ton of money to get rid of, and the Cavs have to get rid of some of those contracts at some point this season.
And you might even want to pick up a deal with 2 years left because the 2020 free agency pool is getting thinner and thinner with Buddy Hield being re-signed, Sabonis being re-signed, and Jaylen Brown being re-signed. In a way of a thin class, you lose three of all your best options there.
You know what my nightmare is?
Having all this money and having no and giving it all to DeMar Kill.
That's a nightmare. But you know what my other nightmare is? Is that at some point the Cavs are going to end up trading with Boston again and taking on Jaylen Brown's disgusting contract?
I hope not.
That's my other
nightmare. The only two people I'd want from Boston, which is they're a good team, so it's kind of outlandish, but it would be Jason Tatum or Taco Fall. Those are the only two I'd take.
I would take Jason
Tatum. I wouldn't want any of the Morrises.
If they figured out they didn't want him anymore.
Who?
I'd take Tatum if they figured out they didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, I'll take Tatum. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give you Sexton,
Jetty,
and a bag of expiring contracts.
And Ante Zizic back.
I'll give you a bunch of expiring contracts and Sexton for Jason Tatum. Not that that would ever happen, but
no. You
know, it's nice to dream. You know, that's a dream sometimes.
Danny Ainge is smarter than everybody.
Danny Ainge is not smart anybody. He gave Jalen Browns a ton of money, and Kyrie Irving didn't work out for him. So even though the Kyrie Irving trade hurts so bad.
It feels a little bit better.
It didn't work out for Danny Ainge. Because Kyrie Irving was like, everything's flat, and I don't need to be a leader to win
games.
Except
for this basketball in my hands.
I think that made it a little bit less painful now that we know that the Kyrie Irving Boston experience didn't work out. So ultimately, the Cavs, where do you think they lie as far as win totals?
Well, that's funny that you ask, because Vegas pegged them at 24 wins this season.
Ooh.
And we have an over or under question. And that, no, that is our over and under question.
It's our over under
for
question.
For the Cavs today.
Over under.
Over under 24 wins in the 82 game season this year for the Cavs.
Over. I'll go over 24 wins, because I think at some point the Cavs will get some rhythm, the offense will click, and then mid-season, Kobe Altman could make a trade where he could add a piece to make a playoff push.
I like that. I think if you have a healthy Kevin Love all season, that definitely can happen. I also think that there's a bunch of crappy teams in the East, and we play those teams four times each every year. Think about the teams that we play. In the Eastern Conference, we have Washington.
Yuck.
We have the Pistons. They'll be a decent team.
They're yuck. The Pistons aren't that good.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure the Pistons aren't that good. Look it up all you want. Pistons are pretty much not a good team. I think that you're going to.
Oh, speaking of which, Blake Griffin is out to start the year again.
Blake Griffin is a China doll.
It's only like 2 to 4 weeks,
that
but
dunks really
but
hard.
Still.
Or used to dunk really hard. Who pretends to shoot threes now?
I think he's gotten actually to be a better player. With,
Zion's out too because he's also a China doll.
But no, you have the Charlotte Hornets. You have the Wizards. You have the Nets, who didn't get Zion, Kyrie, or Kevin Durant, or Kawhi. And then you have the Bulls as well. That's four teams that you should win at least half of those games, which is a third of your wins to the 24 right there. And in fact, during the Western Conference games, we don't play a few teams like the Grizzlies,
the Suns. Yuck.
So I think just if the only reason I don't think we can hit 24 wins is if our defense is so bad with Colin Sexton and Garland starting. That's the only way I can see. I can't see. Or a big injury to like Kevin Love or Sexton.
I just what I tell you I don't want to see this year. If the Cavs trade Kevin Love,
so I'm over too.
To Portland, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'll take Hassan Whiteside.
I will call.
Oh no! I'll take CJ.
If you give me CJ for Love, yeah.
CJ and like Hassan. CJ and Hassan. I'll give you Love and like. Sexton.
Yeah, that's a fair trade in my mind. But if you trade him for any kind of garbage like Mo Harkless, I will lose my freaking mind. There's no way Kevin Love should leave this roster unless you're getting a haul.
Absolutely, yeah. Great return.
With that being said, Kevin Love's my dude. The Cavs over 24 wins.
I think it'll stay long term. I think it'll be a long term. But everyone is saying that
he's here for
the trade
deadline.
He's here
for the party, man.
But I think, yeah. I think he's going to be a cat for a long time.
That's clickbait nonsense. Kevin Love's staying here.
Yes.
He's in it to win it. He's in here like swimming.
Yep, we're both over for the first time. We're both agreeing on one of these for the first time.
Oh, we can agree. All right.
Yeah, so we're both over on the Cavs.
We can agree.
Yeah, there's a few lines. There's a few betting lines that I liked a lot. I like the Atlanta Hawks one, too. I liked. I want to take the under on Boston because they were 49.5, which is hilarious. They didn't even win 49. They won 49 games with Al Horford and Kyrie Irving.
Oh, saying Boston was. You had to win 49 games for you to win that 49, bet.
49.5.
Yeah, that's a bad bet.
Yeah,
wouldn't take that at all. Okay, so that's gonna wrap up our little Cavs segment here for the moment. Let's talk about some Browns just real quick here.
There's a lot. There's been a lot in this bye week.
Yeah, the bye week's been pretty heavy. There's some unanswered questions I want to talk about. Rashard Higgins being one of them.
That's a huge.
Can we get him in a game, please?
He's arguably looked like a better wide receiver than Jarvis before the season started. And when now he had that knee injury that bothered him for what, 3-4 weeks, 3.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They left him out. And all of a sudden, Freddie Kitchens can't find a package to put him in. They said in the Seattle game, I think he's a slot guy, or he's a talented route runner, and he has great chemistry with Baker in this struggling offense that you can't afford to not play him, especially with Antonio Callaway looking like he was completely unready, kind of out of shape, and just out of sorts with Baker.
I think what they were trying to do is to see if Baker could develop that chemistry with Callaway so that at the end of the season you wouldn't have to re-sign Higgins because Callaway's still got another year in his deal.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you re-sign Higgins?
Because he's going to ask for more money than you can give him. You're committing a lot of money to the wide
receiver. Trade Vonen. Oh, no, trade Richardson. We just signed, we are not in that, but we just signed a nose tackle to beef up in the run game. Devereaux Lawrence has looked capable, not nearly the same, but as we know with Danny Shelton, you can't put a huge value sticker on nose tackles. The edge rushers are more important, cornerbacks are more important, and for the Browns, who have a struggling linebacker core right now, linebackers are way more important. The
Browns need to get a linebacker. But
so if it was me, if I had to decide to either ship Sheldon Richardson, who's had to have a pretty mediocre year, or we sign the wide receiver who's had the best chemistry with your franchise quarterback, who would you pick?
You have a ton of money between Jarvis and Odell committed to the wide receiver core.
It's an important position.
You're going to have to play lower salaries on your second and third, or your third and fourth wide receivers going forward. This is going to be the reality.
There's so much to like about him, and he's gotten better every single year he's been with Cleveland.
You're just going to have to live with it because they're not going to give him big money.
You think we can trade him? You said he's in his last year.
Higgins. Yeah, they're not going to. It's a difficult situation.
Is that why he hasn't played? Do you think he's being shopped right now?
He could be. I don't know, but you wouldn't do that just to shop him. Why not? You want to play him to show he's still healthy.
Keep him healthy.
You want to play him to show he's still healthy. I don't know. The Higgins thing is kind of bizarre. The Jarnard Avery thing is kind of bizarre still. I want to see the Browns put together a great game plan and come out and beat the Patriots.
I want them to show up at home. They haven't won one a game at home. They lost the opener to the Titans, they lost to the Rams in that heartbreak, and then they lost to the Seattle Seahawks this past week.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that right now you
0-3
don't really have much of a home field advantage. It's kind of a bummer.
Well, they've been playing very tough games at home as well.
I'm ready for the second half of this schedule, boy. It's going to be sweet.
I can't wait till we play the Bengals and Steelers, and with me knocking them out.
Yeah.
But we have to do these tough weeks.
Touchdowns and then we could shove our Baker stats and all the Lamar Jackson fans.
After they miss the playoffs and we squeeze in.
They barely miss. Our roster is more talented than the freaking Ravens.
Well, I think everyone knows that, but the story of this season has been coaching. Can we figure it out, put a collective team together and get the job done?
I want to make an important point here. I saw earlier that Bill Belichick. He has 10 assistant head coaches. How many assistant coaches do you think the Browns have on their staff?
I'm down just less than 10.
Nope.
We have more than 10.
27. Belichick says that the reason he keeps his staff short like that is it's easier to keep a smaller amount of people on the same page.
I said,
that makes a ton of sense. Is it easier to lead a team of 10 people or easier to lead a team of 27 people?
That's a lot of
freaking coaches, man. Like, the more I thought about it, the more that, like, ticked me off. It's like, how many hands do you need in the kitchen, man? Like in the Freddy kitchens, like, you don't need that many cooks in the kitchen. And 27 seems like an awful lot.
Yeah, where are those coaches even coming from? Like, what side of the ball? Are they even outside the ball? Is that, like, the laundry assistants? Like, where are we at with that?
How big is their meeting room? Is it, like, a banquet hall?
It's like the courtroom.
Can you hear it the other side of the table?
Cleveland courtroom, yeah.
Can you hear it the other side of the table when Freddie's talking? Or are you playing telephone? And that's that why the Browns' offense sucks and they're not winning games because the time the message gets down to the 27th coach, they don't know what the heck's going on.
Do you think John Dorsey is allowed, or maybe Fuddy allowed, the people he brought in just to get to do their own thing, get their own assistance? Is that what you think? There's an entire this long list of like a branch of assistants?
No. I think what happens is Freddie is trying.
I want to know the average.
Utilize his resources.
I want to know the average of the number of assistant coaches on the average NFL team, and then I want to see assistant coaches on every team, and see where the best teams lie in the number, whether it be higher or lower. If Belichick is the outlier, Belichick and the Patriots are an outlier with the 10 assistants, or is Fuddy the norm with the 27?
We'll have to find out. Yeah. It just seems like a lot of coaches, man.
It's a lot of coaches.
I know if like you had 27 assistants on a basketball team, people would like go like stop it.
We'll just divide that by what? Was 10? Because divide that by 3.5 because we have what 15 players compared to the 53.
Yeah.
So instead of 27, you got 9. You got 7.
Yeah, I think that...
So that puts it in perspective a little bit better.
I think at times...
I feel like maybe it's 4 to 6.
I had like 4 to 6, yeah.
Yeah.
When LeBron was here, they had like 7 assistants.
Well, they had a bunch of assistants, quote-unquote, just because they were LeBron's homies.
Damon Jones was just here to get soup thrown on them.
Yeah, we had James Posey in there. It actually became like a...
I like Posey, man.
Posey's too, the man, though. But yeah, I think... If you like the college coach, like basketball coaches, you have the entire line of like the student coaches, like the observational, like guest coaches. It's like if you looked at all the chairs, they have like they must have like 35 of them.
It's a lot. It's too much.
But yeah, that's a lot of coaches. That's many assistants. It could be one of I agree. That could be one of the issues that they're having is this trying to streamline and stay on the same page between this giant. Coaching staff.
Okay, last point we have here to talk about is we got traded line coming up. Now, you mentioned we needing a linebacker, and I think the Browns could still use some help in the offensive line department.
Here's my question, though.
If the Browns beat the Patriots, does John Dorsey go get a lineman?
I think you go get a lineman just because you can never, just like, I think, Frank Gibson said, you can never have too many good quality offensive linemen.
I think,
and with the way that they're getting hurt, not only in the modern NFL but this year, you've seen several starting left tackles and right tackles and guards and stuff tear the ACL or be out for the year with a major injury, whether it be Tylan Jones, I think, with the Cowboys or. Boom with the Rams.
There's probably two or three teams that are right now going to be sellers that I want the Browns fans to keep an eye on. One, the Atlanta Falcons. Two, the Broncos because they just traded Emmanuel Sanders today. And then your Dolphins, obviously.
My Dolphins,
not your Dolphins. Like the world's Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins of the world.
The ocean.
And the Bengals. So those teams are definitely in the toilet, and they're sellers. So they didn't want to acquire draft picks and other assets. So if we can unload, they can unload some of their linemen or some of their position players, like a linebacker, I would love to take it off their hands.
I liked your point earlier in this week.
Devondre Campbell, Falcons. Devondre Campbell.
No, the guy you mentioned, Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
They expiring contract. This is a half-year rental. But back to the linemen, I think I agree with Dorsey when he said that it's going to be very difficult to even find a trade partner to deal offensive linemen at this point in the season. I think that's historically something you do in the offseason. You either sign or trade for in the offseason, or you either pick somebody off waivers when that's happening mid or a little bit before midseason. People are shifting around and trying to make the trades for the year, but not really midseason.
Devondre Campbell. I want Devondre Campbell from the Falcons. He's a great linebacker. I think he'd be a great fit for the Browns. I think his abilities fit what we need. I think the Falcons are like be willing to sell on him.
He's do you trade Olivier Vernon? He's on contract through 2021. You do have Jarnaud Avery, who put up 4.5 sacks and 39 tackles in 15 games last year. It was what the year he worked his ass off. Also, we know it was an explicit podcast this time. He worked his butt off this past offseason, and he looked straight jacked. And then he just doesn't fit the new 4-2-5 rotation. Or the new scheme.
I don't know.
Notation.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't say you trade Vernon. I think he's still graded out pretty well so far this year. I think once you get your corners back this week and you see what what they can do defensively, I'd be interested to see how the team gels the rest of the way. I think there's still a huge aspect in football in terms of gelling as a team and growing as a team. And I think the Browns, you know, experienced some of that growth against the Seahawks, but I don't think they're quite... they're quite there yet.
I think we've experienced bits and pieces. I think we experienced some against the Rams, and then some against the Ravens, and then a huge chunk in the Seahawks game. And then we're having trouble building upon that week to week. And I think we can't overlook the fact that we haven't been without our starting quarters with what 5 of our 6 games this year. Yeah, at least four. And that's, I think, disrupting Steve Wolf's game plan defensively, heavily, and not being the outcome that they want.
I agree with you on that one. I think you'll see some big improvements over the next couple of weeks. I really want to see us get after the quarterback on a more consistent basis.
I believe if you get Greedy Williams and Denzel would have played this game, this game against the Patriots, that you will see, and depending on how it goes, you might see one of those defensive linemen or those linebackers move to shift and find some different piece before the deadline. But yeah, I think either having them or having that full healthy squad will help determine where they are defensively way better than this kind of looking around and waving their hand in the dark, trying to draft something when they don't really know what's wrong with the defense. So
I don't think the defense is bad. I just think it hasn't been...
The run defense hasn't been good.
Hasn't been
it's
good.
Been, it's been one of it's the been bottom.
Really bad, yes. The run defense hasn't been bad, but I think the pass defense has been 8th overall in the league.
Do you think or you know
it's 8th overall is okay. What I checked there today. And I think we continue to improve the run defense if you can get the defense a little more healthy. So... We'll see what all shakes out. That I'm excited for this Patriots game, but dear goodness, they made Sam Darnold look like a really bad quarterback, and he was seeing ghosts.
Apparently. It was a lot of I think that was the only thing I enjoyed during the bye week was what Sam Darnold did wet by the Patriots. This just shut New York up. That's all I wanted.
All you wanted?
No, that's not all.
There's
I wanted.
More. There's more things.
But during the bye week. After Wimmer stalled and after players got healthy and participated fully in practice, that was the only thing I wanted after that. So,
all right, time for the best segments of the podcast here.
Weekly segments.
Yeah, we're gonna go.
It's gonna be 3 times a week now.
So yeah, we're here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah,
yeah.
We're here for all the coverage, all the stuff you could ever want. And all the opinions you could ever want.
All the angry arguments over Kobe Altman and Fournette's fight. Fournette. To the end of time, all you ever need.
All the Baker love that you ever want.
They ever want so that much... you didn't know you did want during his struggling times.
Oh, it's here. We're here with the love, Baker. We're very supportive. Very supportive. Okay, so let's go with the buy or sell first. Are you buying that Cleveland will be ready to play in New England?
Well, I think the fourth time is a charm. After not being ready, really, two out of three home games that we played in. I was including the 49ers, which is away.
This is not a home game, bro. This is in Foxborough.
You're right. It wasn't. Well, we haven't been winning all away games either. But you have to change something. You have to fit something sooner or later. And if the Browns are going to change it and be ready on a week-to-week basis, it's now coming out of the bye week.
Yeah, if you're not ready out of the bye week, you're going to be in real trouble.
I think
I'm going to buy they're going to be prepared. I think they're going to be ready to take adversity this week, and they're going to approach it differently than they have.
If they aren't, then you have to really look at Freddy Kitchens and his ability to team ready on a week-to-week basis. I think that would be a huge red flag. You might have to take it in what it is, because the Patriots defense has been that good, but Baker needs to take care of the ball, and please God, Freddy Kitchens, have this Cleveland Browns team ready to play.
I'm actually very excited for this New England game. I think the Browns are gonna put together a real nice game.
I love playing New England, honestly.
You got to get up for these big time games, man. I think if you are a true Browns fan, you love to see a matchup versus an elite team, and the undefeated Patriots are an absolutely elite team. I think if you beat the Patriots,
7-0 Patriots,
you're back on the map. So I'm definitely buying they're going to be prepared. All right, next one. Buy or sell that Kevin Love, Tristan, or Clarkson will be traded this season?
Personally, I wanna sell that, but I have a weird feeling that Tristan Thompson or Clarkson are gonna be traded. I want to keep both of them, but with Toby Ullman's plan to develop the young guys and just slowly build the team through the draft, I think, you know, flipping those guys for a high to mid level lottery pick. But I would honestly love to keep all three of those, but I don't know how realistic it is. So I'm gonna buy it.
I'm gonna also buy this, because even though Kevin Love is not going anywhere, you're gonna end up trading probably Clarkson and Tristan. I don't think they're gonna be the same teams, but they'll definitely get involved in a trade. And I think that those guys won't be on the roster by the end of the season. You could easily see the Cavs taking on some money, and being a trade partner for getting Chris Paul the heck out of Oklahoma City.
Please no.
They're not going to take on Chris Paul's contract.
Oh, you're talking about a three-way deal.
They're going to be part of a three-way deal to take on some bad contracts.
And to help move Chris Paul
to some other team. Because he's not going to be on Oklahoma City the whole year. You know that.
Yeah. Need some bad contracts and some draft picks. I didn't know what you were doing with that. We don't need Chris Paul.
We're going to take some assets. And the only reason you wouldn't take assets there is if you're going to actually have a chance to make it the playoffs.
Yeah, it should be an interesting season. And if you do trade Tristan Thompson, do not be surprised if we don't win very many games after that happens. Because I think he's really a rock in this young Cavs team.
Despite all the Kardashian stuff,
I think that's past him. He's going into his ninth season. that's gone. And he's an NBA champion. And he's a workhorse. He's been that since before he was even drafted with the Cavs. And I think going into his new shifted role with this new young team that they're trying to boost him and Kevin Love and Clarkson trying to boost him to the playoffs, I think he's kind of in full stride and kind of really been that player, that established veteran where any of these young guys, if they need something, they can come to him. Or establish that daily grind where you need to become a consummate professional.
Question for you. Do you think Tristan Thompson is left-handed or right-handed?
He's ambidextrous, isn't he?
Oh, he's ambidextrous. Taking the politically correct...
The factually correct, logical thing that is the way it is.
Can he make a free throw with both hands?
Can he make a free throw with either hand? that's the weird question.
I don't know. We'll find out. All this and more on your 2019-2020 Cleveland Cavaliers.
He was shooting threes. We posted that. That went viral for a minute.
Yeah, I hope
it didn't look great. But I mean, if Andre Drummond didn't shoot threes, if Shaq and Dwight Howard can,
Boban is.
Yeah, then Tristan Thompson can.
Yeah, let him fly. So, yeah. Let him fly, Tristan.
Let him fly. If Colin Sexton's other jumper works for him, and he becomes, he's a 40% shooter from downtown, then the stats are limit for Thompson.
All right, very last thing here on the board is the stat of the week. So, despite there being kind of, I want to say up and down, because it's not always consistent, but Myles Garrett is actually tied for first in the league in sacks. He's got 9 sacks this far with Tyler Shaquille Barrett and...
from Tampa.
And he's having, on paper, it looks to be a dominant season, even though at times he's looked invisible out there.
Oh, he's looked one-dimensional. And what I mean by that is he's very present in the pass game, but he looks like he's constantly getting beat in the run game. He only has 20 total tackles this season.
I just want to see...
I feel like that's low for the edge rusher.
I want to see him get there more often. I want to see them load up his side of the ball more often.
Especially considering that teams playing the bounds, what, 46% of the time?
Yeah.
In a pass-first lead. That, I think that's, what, best for second or third most?
Yeah, it's really up there. The Browns run, they get ran the third most out of
which
any
isn't
team.
Surprising with our new defense. We're trying to limit the big passing plays, and giving up what I think 154 yards rushing per game. Only at third for third worst, only behind Miami Dolphins and I want to say the Chiefs. I don't think that's right.
No. But you do make a good point about stopping big passing plays. The only game this year that they had actually some big passing plays against them was the first game against the
Titans. Oh, the Redskins. I think it's Miami and the Redskins.
Yeah. The Titans lit the Browns up for some deep passes. That rookie looked really good. Brown, whatever his name was. He had a really...
No, that was the Ravens.
No.
Hollywood Brown.
No, it was not Hollywood Brown. I'm thinking of the guy on the Titans
was who he
lit
Brown?
The Browns up. You we look it up. His he had a billion yards and he lit up Denzel Ward. That's why Denzel Ward hasn't played since.
Messed up his hammy. So bad.
He messed up his hammy in practice, you know this. The guy had a great game against the Browns. It just was what it was. And he looked like a dominant wide receiver out there, even though he was a rookie. I mean the guy's he's a fast.
He's pissed in the mouth.
AJ Brown, I told you, he had 3 receptions for 100 yards. They were all big plays too.
He did burn Denzel Ward a bit.
Yeah, he burned Denzel Ward a lot. What are you talking about?
Okay,
his barbecue chicken out there.
Okay, in his defense, Steve Wilkes didn't give him much safety help that game at all. I think they ran 0 blitz several times in third down. Situation, but to give up those jump plays.
Man, if you are Denzel Ward, you best not get beat by a rookie wide receiver when you're a Pro Bowler. I'm just saying that. You know, it just is what it is. So, Denzel Ward, come back from injury, have a big game, do some work against these Patriots, and let's get a win.
Is Sanu playing against the Browns?
Yeah, he probably will. He's tricky.
Similar to like the Antonio Brown situation where he didn't have much time with the team.
Yeah, he's tricky.
He still played.
I don't think Gordon's playing now. Oh, excuse me. I'm like yawning over here. I'm like, I'm tired of talking about what the Browns have to do. I want them to just go out and execute. That's where I'm getting, man. I'm getting to the point where it's like, just go out and execute and look like a well-coached, disciplined football team. That's all I want.
We've been talking about it. Funny's been talking about it. We all know what we need to do. We just need to do it.
I just wanna feel good Monday about the way the Browns performed and not have to blame poor coaching or
poor officiating
or just like bad game planning on the Browns, bad execution on the Browns not winning. Like I want to see us play a complete football game and live up to some of the hype and use the talent that we have to the best of our ability. That's all I want to see. I want to see us live up to our talent's ability.
I think we'll have to get really creative and go back to what we did early on as the Seahawks and what we did in the last 8 games last year. If we don't deal anyone on this tough Patriots defense. They look like the best defense in football right now. What? San Donald threw four picks?
Yeah, they are absolutely terrorizing teams out there. And Jamie Collins leading the way.
Yeah. Belichick was just waving about Jamie Collins once again, even though he just traded him.
Want to play for the Browns. We know what this is.
I can imagine that. I wouldn't want to play for me either.
We understand what it is. It's okay. Anyways, we'll wrap this thing up here. We appreciate everyone who has jumped in and listened to the podcast. We really enjoy having these discussions. Like we said before, we're going to be here now on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You're going to look forward to it. It's going to be out here. And
you will look
forward to this podcast.
Or else.
Or else. If you give us some 5 stars out there, we'd really appreciate that. If you guys have things you want to talk about, please hit us up on the social medias.
Any feedback, just let us know. You can DM us on any of
our
socials.
Or ask some questions. We'd love to answer some questions from people.
Get a little bit more detailed and pinpoint some specific discussions.
We're real saucy with it.
Yeah.
We'll cook it up here. Special sauce.
Steak sauce.
It'll be A1, everybody. All right, so thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys all on Friday, and when we break down this final preview for the Patriots-Browns game. My name is Mike.
And we'll talk about the Cavs a little bit. What happened with the Orlando game. Yeah, that's why I shut off again.
You cut me
off. Orlando game, and then they play someone after that, I think. They play Milwaukee on Saturday. Pacers. So they play. We only have 2 games this week to kick off the year. Magic tomorrow, and then we play at home, a home opener, and the new Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse against the Pacers.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. So we'll break it all down for you. We're excited to be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday now.
Oh, and we do have something cooking real special.
Oh, there's a surprise again.
Yeah, it's a big surprise.
You're a big tease, Sim. You're just dangling out these surprises like we're just have all this stuff coming down the pipe. Which we do.
That's a weird sentence, man. But
no, it's coming down the pipe, man. It's like down the assembly line.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the J.R. Smith line. Just to land the pipe.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Mike.
I'm co-host Tim.
And remember, in Cleveland, everything is earned.